I guess I'm just surprised that cryptocurrency investing is still super, super popular. Maybe I'm the odd man out. Kristen Myers joins us now, the editor-in-chief of The Balance. We chat pretty much every week now, Kristen. And did this number surprise you about how many people are going back into the crypto well?
Great to be here with you again tonight, John. I actually was pretty surprised. You know, over at The Balance, we decided to do a whole big survey about how inflation was really impacting people's wallets, how they were dating differently, you know, if they were investing differently. And we found that 39% of investors are actually buying more cryptocurrency, even as the markets, as you and I have been discussing lately, are honestly just making us all topsy-turvy. So I was pretty surprised. I know that a lot of folks do like to buy the dip. I just didn't think that they would want to go for crypto since it's lost about half of its value just over the last couple of months.
Yeah, right. And I get it. I get buying the dip too. And it just seems like it's such an unproven thing that it will ever rebound to where, what, Bitcoin was above 60,000 at one point. Are these mainly people that had already invested in cryptocurrency? They're already part of that ballgame? Or are there some new investors that saw the price come down this much and thought, well, now maybe is a chance for me to get in. I've been waiting on the sidelines for a while.
Well, that we're not too sure about. We don't know if they were, you know, already very much bullish on crypto or if they were skeptics but figured, hey, the price is too good. But we do know that they are buying more. So maybe this is some people that were on the sidelines and now, you know, Bitcoin, for example, is at a price point that they feel a little bit more comfortable with. But what we do know is that it's definitely younger investors that are deciding to make this jump into cryptocurrency compared to, let's say, Gen X and older.
Right. You have a 31% of people are investing more in ETFs, which is surprising to me because, and that leads us into our next discussion, the really great article you wrote about saving for beyond, kind of building wealth, as ETFs are a great option for people there. Maybe a little bit safer. Maybe it's that things were so low that stocks, as you say, are popular, crypto, that people have seen or feel like they've seen a bottom and want to be a little bit more aggressive.
Right. So when we look at, we gave everyone four options: cryptocurrency, stocks, ETFs, and index funds. Now, the most popular thing that most people are buying more of is actually stocks at 41%. Now, cryptocurrency wasn't far behind. 39% of investors say that they're, you know, really leaning more into that. But yeah, really kind of lagging behind here would be ETFs and index funds, both of those just over 30% at 31% for ETFs and 33% of investors saying they're buying more index funds. Now, this could be a little bit of this buying the dip, right? Especially if you are someone who has a longer time horizon in the market. So you don't necessarily need to be 25, but if you're 40, even 50, 55, you've got a good decade or more before you're planning to retire. And what we do know is that bull runs follow bear runs, which is what we are in right now. And during a bull run, stocks tend to go up about 114% on average. So this is the time, if you have quite a bit of time left in the market, for you to really snap up a lot of those stocks and those assets at much, much lower prices. And I think that's why we're seeing so many investors say, hey, you know what? I'm going to really go and lean in on these more volatile assets.
Yeah. Well, you had a great, as I was saying, response to a question about someone who's done a lot of the right things. And I think a lot of our listeners might be in this position, too. So I'd love to walk through it with you. People that do have a good emergency fund already set up, that's a thumbs up. People that are maxing out their IRA contributions for the year and maybe even their 401ks. And I think a lot of people go, all right, I've done that. What's next? And you kind of walk through it really great with this reader.
Yeah, I absolutely loved this question because I think that we focus so much on retirement and we kind of forget that there's many years in the in-between before you ever even retire, right?
And we're also there's limits on how much you can, I mean, there's big limits on what you can put in your retirement, right? You get max out 401ks, IRAs. You don't want to just have the rest of that cash just sitting in your bank account, especially with inflation tracking at 7, 8, 9%.
100%. So first and foremost, when it does come to the retirement, we already know that most Americans actually well underestimate actually how much they need in retirement, right? And they don't end up saving enough for retirement. And so while it is great if you, for example, have a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA and you've maxed it out, you probably need another retirement account. If you can get an employer-sponsored account like a 401k, you should also have one of those and max that out. If you have a 401k, you should probably think of also opening up an IRA as well to really supplement that income. Because as you mentioned, they're capped, at least for your own personal contributions that you can make. The 401k actually has a 61,000 limit, but you yourself can only put in this year 20,500.
Right.
But once you've done that, once you've got, you know, your 6 months, 8 months, 9 months even of savings, and you're doing really well on the retirement front, this is a great time for you to say, hey, I should be building that wealth, not just for myself, but also for my children and my grandchildren and future generations, right? That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make sure that our family that we leave behind is going to be better off. And that really depends on some of the decisions that we make right now. And so I really suggest for people, once you've got a really great stockpile of savings, maybe this is the time to start saying, okay, I'm going to save a little bit less and I'm going to start investing more. And if you are someone that has that really robust savings, you're not too worried about your job right now, you haven't taken on extra debt by buying a house or by buying a car, this is actually, in this down market, a great time for you to really start to put more money into that market so that, again, when the markets start to go up again, you're really going to start to see your wealth grow. And when you do that, you can use that money to buy a house, to fund your children's college education, or anything else that you might want.
Right. These don't have to be stockpiles that are only for retirement. It can be for things that are, I mean, like if you're about to buy a house, put your down payment aside, obviously, that you want to have ready to go. But if these are more 5 to 10 year purchases, you want to see that money grow. I know a lot of people say, well, I do these automatic contributions. That's all I really know how to do. And it seems intimidating. Well, now is maybe the easiest time ever, probably, to get investing into ETFs. Like there's so many different, you can go through a brokerage account you already have with your IRA perhaps and ask them for help, but a lot of this you can do on your own.
Oh, absolutely. You do not need to go get a financial advisor to get involved in the market. So first, I'm glad that you said that. I'm lazy. I'm very honest about that. I do not want to have multiple brokerage accounts because I'll probably forget the password and I'll never invest my money. So if you have your 401k or your IRA at one brokerage, I would stick with that one just to make it easy to have all your accounts in one place. Open up a separate investment account and you're going to start taking your money on a consistent basis, whether it's every month, every week, every 3 months, put money into that account. And then what you can do is really put your money in index funds or ETFs. Now, I know what everyone's thinking. Okay, but Kristen, what ETFs? What index funds? Well, I always say invest in what you know, invest in what you use. 70% of the economy is actually based on consumer spending. So that means that everyone that's listening, all of us, you and me, we already have a pretty good idea about what companies are doing really well or what industries are doing really well based on how we spend our own money. I also think that if you are investing in things that you know or products that you use or industries that you're very tapped into, you're going to better understand those companies and the ups and downs of those companies. So if you like to travel, consider a travel, you know, ETF, for example. If you want to be lazy and you just want to invest in the U.S. economy at scale, maybe an S&P 500 index fund is going to be more your speed. But I will say if you do those things, you'll actually be able to spread the risk a little bit around. So you're not stock picking, which is far more difficult.
Right, exactly. And you're trying to time things out a little bit. And you got to have that consistent amount. You have your plan, and when the markets go down, you stick with it. When the markets are going up, you stick with it. That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
Kristen, we are out of time. I do love this article at thebalance.com. People can go to it, and all over The Balance, you have really great ways to understand. There's an article I'm looking at, What Are Index Funds? So if there's something you were confused about, you can text me here, 312-981-7200. I'll try and find the link for you, or no matter what, just go to thebalance.com and they can find it out there. Kristen, we'll chat again next week, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Oh, such great advice there. All right, let's take a break. Then we got the news here on Your Money Matters.